Love you.
Thank you. I love you and love your wife and children. I'm happy to be here. Are you happy to be here? I'm enjoying it all so very much. I want you to pray for me. I always like to ask if the fellow back there where our dear distinguished young man Bob is sitting. Bob, can you hear me well back there? Good. God bless you. I'm going to tell you, you got a great one to come and help your pastor when you got Bob and his wife. They're good people. Love the Lord. Have a wonderful testimony. Matter of fact, he was employed while I was in school, and his employer came to me and said the entire atmosphere, had many employees, the entire atmosphere of this place is changed and more God-honoring because of that one man we brought here to work. It's quite a compliment, isn't it? Thank the Lord. And these young men, your pastor and Brother Tommy, I've called him all his life, God bless him, and their wives are choice servants of the Lord. And they really have God's hand on their lives, no doubt about it. I could not think more highly of these young men than I do, and their wives right there with them, if not excelling them. That's a great combination, isn't it? It truly is. I want you to pray for my wife. She wanted to be here. She's actually was in tears because she couldn't make it. She's had surgery, and we've had quite an ordeal. I had to take her back today. She'd been out of the hospital for 3 days, but I took her back today. They had to redo some of the surgery this morning, and that's always an aggravation, isn't it? And I went in the room with her and watched the doctor, and it was hard on me, too, just to watch, but I wanted to give her all the support I could. But I've been having to go to the grocery store and do some different things that I don't normally do. And so I've had a hard time. Somebody needs to have a little sympathy for me, I'm telling you. This really happened. I went to the grocery store the other night. She gave me a list, of course, you know. And I went to the grocery store the other night. And lo and behold, I went in. The store she always goes in. I got a buggy to do everything with. And I'd started into the aisles. And I noticed one of those had those little cars in the front of it. And, and I thought, I don't need this. And how silly I looked pushing a cart around, and I looked on the front of it, and there's a little car. Oh, mercy. Then I went back and got one that had the baby thing on it, you know. So that wasn't the worst part. I was trying to find things in the silly place, going around and around and around, and you know what she'd normally do in 15 or 20 minutes, maybe 30 minutes max. I'd been in there over an hour, and finally, some older women started following me around after about the fifth time I'd been around the whole store down every aisle. And they said, "Sir, is there anything we can do to help you? You don't look like you know what you're doing." I said, "I don't. Can you tell me where I can find canned pineapple?" And one of them was so kind, she said, "That's always very hard to find. We understand it." And sit right on the end of the aisle, you know, but... So anyway, I'm not getting any sympathy from Evelyn. She's getting all the sympathy from me, but I've got to find some sympathy somewhere for these things I'm having to do. Wasn't that a wonderful message? I'm talking about the one we just heard. Wasn't that a wonderful message? Tommy, did you drink from this? Good. Good. He's a fine-looking young man, too. God bless him. Oh, boy. It's just encouraging, isn't it? About Robert Dick Wilson, one of America's great theologians, great minds. He taught in the old days at Princeton University and taught theology, among other things. He came to hear one of his former students in chapel, and he said, "I may not be back to hear you again," after he heard him. "I just came to see if you're a big God preacher or a little God preacher." And he said, I'm satisfied to hear that you're a big God preacher." And you know, we have too much little God preaching, you know. Everybody's great but God. But there's no one great but God in reality. I've been praying all day about what to preach on, and you're going to be very surprised. Because I remember when years ago I'd read about exhorters. I said to Tommy, I had a nice meal with these fellows and their wives earlier, I said, I'm just going to give an exhortation. I'm not going to give a sermon, just an exhortation. And that's what I felt like I ought to do. Well, years ago, they'd bring a preacher in who was skilled in handling the Word of God and preaching the Word of God, rightly dividing the Word of God. And then they may have someone who'd come and just exhort people to do what the preacher said. That's really the way it went on. Well, I'm going to exhort you a little on what the preacher's already said. That's a marvelous message. And he's right on target. And I want you to pray for me that I'll be used of God to help encourage, because I'm going to speak on the very same thing. I looked for the expressions on your face. There were none. And so, now there's hundreds and hundreds of sermons a fellow who's been preaching for 44 years could preach. But I know this is exactly what God wants me to do. So I know better than do anything else. Appreciate all you preacher brethren here. I love you and respect you, praying for you. I'm so glad you're here. Honored to be here. I want you people to know that I know and everybody else knows this is a great church. And there's a great heritage here. God gave you a great shepherd and a wonderful wife by the shepherd's side. It's a rare thing for a church to find someone that can be loved and love the people as your pastor loved and loved the people. And that's what you've got. And everybody ought to feel just absolutely wonderful about that. Everybody. That's how good of care God's taking care of this assembly. That's the Lord's care, isn't it? May we? Our Father, we thank Thee for Thy precious Word, for how our hearts have been helped to hear what we've heard, how we've been instructed, and it's been wise instruction we've heard. Thank You for blessing and using this young man as You've blessed him and used him. Thank You for this pastor of this church. Thank You for their dear wives and what godly examples they are. We pray for their children that You'll protect them from evil and that they will grow in the nurture and admonition of Thee, Lord. Bless these homes. Make these men mighty in Thee. And keep Your hand, we pray, upon this assembly of believers. Bless our dear brother who labored here, he and his wife, so long. And may he continue to see the fruit of his labor. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray and plead with Thee for Thy divine aid. Amen. I'd like you to take the Word of God, please, and turn with me to the Gospel according to Matthew, the 22nd chapter. Matthew chapter 22. I don't think some of you believed I was going to do what I said I'm going to do, but in just a moment you will believe it. In Matthew chapter 22, our confidence is in the Lord, isn't it? I trust that's the way we feel about it. I want to show you just a few things from Matthew chapter 22, and so we'll begin reading with verse 15. Then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might entangle him in his talk. And they sent out unto him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Master, we know that thou art true and teachest the way of God in truth, neither carest thou for any man, for thou regardest not the person of men. Tell us therefore, what thinkest thou? Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not? But Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, Why tempt ye me, ye hypocrites? Show me the tribute money. And they brought unto him a penny, and he said unto them, Whose is this image and superscription? They say unto him, Caesar's. Then saith he unto them, Render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things which are God's. When they had heard these words, they marveled and left him and went their way. The same day came to him the Sadducees, which say that there is no resurrection, and ask him, saying, Master, Moses said, if a man die having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. Now there were with us seven brethren, and the first, when he had married a wife, deceased, and having no issue, left his wife unto his brother likewise, the second also, and the third unto the seventh. And last of all, the woman died also. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be of the seven? For they all had her. Jesus answered and said unto them, ye do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, have you not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob? God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. And when the multitude heard this, they were astonished at his doctrine. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? They say unto him, The son of David. He said unto them, How then doth David in spirit call him Lord, saying, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. If David then call him Lord, how is he his son? And no man was able to answer him a word, neither dost any man from that day forth ask him any more questions. Now the Lord Jesus warned us of leaven, things being added, leaven. And he warned of the leaven of the Herodians. The Herodians were politically minded people. They were attached to the Herodian family. And the Herodian family lasted a little more than spanning a century until the Herodian family had died off. And that Herodian leaven is worldliness. He warned them against the leaven of the Sadducees. The Bible plainly says they believed in no resurrection. And so their leaven would have been leaven we would imagine to be like liberalism or denying the truth. Don't let any of it in. Then he warned of the leaven of the Pharisees. And the Pharisees were hypocrites. And so Jesus warned against the hypocrisy that can come into God's work. The worldliness, the liberalism, the hypocrisy. And they all took their shot at the Son of God. They wanted to ask him questions, not to get answers, but to try to trick him or to twist him up, but they couldn't do it. And finally, the Bible concludes this chapter with saying that they gave up. And from that day forward, they didn't ask him any more questions. Now, right in the heart of that, one of them came to him and said, What is the great commandment? Let's imagine that you and I could get the Lord Jesus here for a moment and say to him, Tell us the most important thing that we could possibly hear you say. Because God speaks to us through his word. This is the word of God. So tell us the most valuable thing, the most important thing you could possibly say. And when the Lord spoke these words, He gave this thing that is at the top of His list. It's at the top of His list. And I believe if that is what we understand and seek to do, that our questions finally cease. We don't ask questions anymore, foolish things, incidental things, secondary things. Things like, well, what are we going to do about witnessing or the Bible or prayer? Those things are settled when this is settled. That's what this fine young preacher was saying. It blessed my heart. It blessed my heart. We come to churches and to people and to meetings and we try to get people to do things that are things they should be doing. But if we could go upstream, back to the source, and find the one thing that encourages and aids all other things, that's what this is. It's exactly what it is. That's what we were told. And we're told very plainly, very purposefully, and very powerfully. This is the truth. So if you are in the habit of marking things in your Bible, I want you to mark this. If you haven't marked it, notice please, thou shalt love the Lord thy God. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God. I want to speak on that a little bit, just in an exhortation. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God. Notice these things are connected. He said this is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like unto it, verse 39, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. These are absolutely connected. They are inseparable. You cannot do the second if you have not let this first one capture you. You can beg and plead for people to do everything imaginable for the Lord. Well, to love the neighbor, we'll come to that in a little while. But it's never going to be done if the first thing hadn't been cared for. You may be interested in trying to find the things that make your husband the best husband he could possibly be. Well, the goal is not to be taken way out there to say, here are the things a good husband ought to do. Let the same man love the Lord God and he'll be the good husband. Or you say, here's what I'd like for my wife to do. I just got this mind about things. Look, that's the wrong place to start. If she loves the Lord her God, she'll be the wife that she ought to be to her husband. As a matter of fact, the greatest thing you can do for your children, people say the greatest thing you can do for your children if you're a husband is to love your wife. And that's a good bit of advice. Or the greatest thing you can do for your children if you're the wife and mother is to love your husband. That's great advice, but there's something greater. Because there'll never be anything greater developed in the life of your children than what Jesus said should be there at the top, to love the Lord. And they get a great lesson in loving the Lord if their parents teach them that they love the Lord. You can drag them to church, force them to come to church, or promise them everything imaginable if they go to church and sit still and behave themselves. And you can do that all their lives. You can even mark the Sundays, 52 Sundays a year, and raise them until they're 18 years old and graduated from high school, and they've been there every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night. Let me tell you something. If they don't learn to love the Lord, as soon as they can disappear, they will disappear. That's what this is all about. You see, God doesn't have to push many buttons. He can push one button that affects all the other buttons. And that's what He does here. If I had one opportunity to be a pastor and I was brought to a church and was only allowed to talk about one thing, I'd bring the message this young man brought a moment ago. It's not just some incidental thing that when Jesus was concluding this 40 days with His disciples who were going to take the gospel to the whole world. Notice, please, He didn't even talk about the gospel. He talked about loving Him. And that would ensure that they told people about Him. These are inseparable truths. It all begins with God, every part of it. Notice the Lord, for instance, repeats it again, if you'll turn with me, please, in the gospel according to Mark, in chapter 12, beginning with verse 28. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, "What is the first commandment of all?" In verse 29 of Mark chapter 12, the Bible says, "And Jesus answered him, 'The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these.'" And by the way, you see here when he says in verse 30, all thine heart, all thy soul, all thy mind, all thy strength. Look at those alls. All. That's the standard. Now, don't let this discourage you. I hope it doesn't discourage you. I'm not trying to discourage myself with this. We're never going to achieve that down here. It's the goal. It's the standard. It's not a system for our salvation. We're going to learn we don't do this in order to be saved. We do this because God has saved us. Because of what He's done for us. And so we keep that ever before us. In other words, you're having trouble with your son, and you're having trouble with your daughter, you're having trouble at your job, or you're having trouble with somebody that's giving you trouble. And you say, "What in the world am I going to do?" Into the love of Jesus, deeper and deeper I go, and God will guide you in what to do. But if you try to take it in your own hands, you're going to make a mess of it. If you want to really know how to deal with anyone you love, learn more about their Creator. You see, that's the God-centered approach to it. Jesus said in John chapter 2, verse 25, He knew what was in man. So why study men to learn men? I try to tell our young preachers, don't try to be some sociologist in the pastorate and study what your people need. You just get better acquainted with God, and He created them. He'll let you know what they need. And it's that way about everything, absolutely everything. You want this to be a great church? If this is a great church, there'll be one thing about it. It is obedient to Christ. It is obedient to Christ. That'll be the thing. That'll be the thing. Now I want to show you something. If you turn to the gospel according to John, I'm just trying to exhort you a little bit. We've been preached to and preached to well, very well. God bless them. John chapter 14, if you have your Bible open. Remember the Lord Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." We rush through that sometimes, quoting this. Now, what right does this person have to say that? "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." He's saying that because he's co-equal, co-existent, eternally existent with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. You see, God became a man without ceasing to be God. If we're going to learn to love God, if we understand that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh, as we love the Lord Jesus, we're going to love God. He's the one who became sin for us, He who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. You say, I'm just not the kind of person that can love. Look, I'm not asking you to love, and no one needs to ask me to love. It's God Himself who enables us to love Him. Often people come to me and say, "You know, here's a man and his wife, and she said, I can't live with this guy. And I said, "Well, tell me a little bit about it." And she begins to talk about it. He puts his head down, and I said, "Well, I couldn't live with him either." I don't know anybody that could. And occasionally some fellow comes in and they say, "This is the last shot, we're going to go see the pastor." That's what they do, you know. This is the last stop for us, we're going to go see the preacher. And he'll come in and he'll say, "I don't know how to tell you this except to tell it, and I just can't live with her. She's terrible." And he begins to talk about a few things, and you know, just to shock the life of him, I'd say, "Well, I could never live with her. I don't know any man that could live with her." But let me ask you this. Can God change him, or can God change her? You know what they have to say? Yes. You see, when you leave God out of anything, it can't be fixed. But when you put God in it, all things are possible. All things. We're to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And so he says, you believe in God, believe also in me. That's quite a statement. In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, receive you unto myself, that where I am there you may be also. And whether I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we know not whether thou goest. How can we know the way? And Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. All of the religions, all of the faiths are solved, settled, put aside in that statement. God who cannot lie, Jesus is God. The Jehovah of the old is the Jesus of the New Testament. As I said, co-equal, co-existent, eternally existent with God the Father, God the Holy Spirit. He said the only way to God is through his Son. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth you know him and have seen him. Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Now listen to this answer in verse 9 of John 14. Jesus said unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? When the Lord said we're to love the Lord our God with all, we're to love Jesus. Why? Every failure we have results from not caring for this. I mean, sometimes when Evelyn and I get into something, and you know, I'm talking about some little disagreement about something, and I know I'm right. I really do. I know I'm right. All men know they're right. Pride takes over, you just know you're right. And she knows she's right. Well, every once in a great while, I really am right. And you know what I'm tempted to do? I am tempted to just stay a little stirred up about it until she admits it. After all, she'll be a better person if she just admits that I'm right. All of us know that's true. Well, what is there that keeps me from tearing up my home life, my marriage? What is there? I certainly don't have the strength. It's because I have access to God, and loving God, God enables me to do what I could not do in my own foolish pride. Let me tell you, churches are torn apart for one reason. Because the people in them don't love the Lord. They love themselves. They want their way. They don't care who they hurt, as long as they prove they're right. You understand, when the Lord said this, he said everything. All of it. And when this young preacher was knocking on that door and pushing that button and kicking at that thing, he hit it. That's it. That's it. I'm just trying to exhort you a little. That's it. I want you to turn with me, please, to the 1 John, if you would. 1 John. Because we have many loves and many lovers who come for our love. And the Bible says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, love not the world, neither things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You see, the greater love, the love for God we should have, is the only thing that can help us tell other lovers who come for us. And I'm not just talking about the opposite sex. I'm talking about things that want to take what really belongs to God. The greater love, the love for God, is the only thing that will help us deal with that, have the victory. I say to people who are having marriage trouble and they've let some other woman or some other man get in, and I'm not trying to be too personal. I want to use propriety in an audience like this. But let's imagine a man says, you know, I've never had anything physical go on, but just to tell you the truth, I got pretty emotional about it. I just let my mind run wild, and there may not even been any touching, but I just developed strong feelings about this. Well, we know that's a doorway to much worse. We know that. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. Whoever that's with is a thief. A thief, because they have stolen the affection and attention that belonged to your husband or to your wife. That's a thief! And I'm going to tell you something. Everything that vies for our love and our attention and everything we love in a way where the Lord is stolen from in that is a thief and a liar. God, wake us up and help us to see. You can't be a Sunday school teacher like you ought to be, not because you don't love the little boys or girls, but because we don't love the Lord. You can't be a pastor and be the shepherd God wants you to be, not because people are kind to you or unkind to you. You have to love the Lord. He enables us to do all else. Well, you can't love your neighbor as yourself. You can't do that unless we love the Lord. And so they come. These lovers come. These loves come. But we're to give the Lord a place nothing else or no one else has. I say to my wife, darling, you pray for me because Jesus deserves a place in my life that you don't have, because I'll be able to love you more and better if I give him his rightful place. And Jesus deserves a place in your life that I will never have, because he will enable you to deal with all of my idiosyncrasies. You know, some people look at the preacher and they say, well, you know, that's one. Listen, you're as crazy as a bedbug. You know, if you had to put up with what people put up with who are married to preachers and all the demands put on them and all the idiotic things that they have to put up with and the calls they hear and the attention or non-attention that they get, you'd wish to God you were 1,000 miles away sometime. The only thing that gives a woman the grace to do that is Jesus. The Lord gives that grace. So if she doesn't give the Lord a place in her life that I don't have, she can't be the wife to me that God wants her to be. I'm telling you, when this preacher pushed this button, he pushed every other button in our lives. Every other button. How many of you believe that this community, don't have to raise your hand, because all of you are going to raise your hand. I know what questions to ask. You believe this community ought to be evangelized. You believe people ought to knock on doors. We're going to 12,000 homes right now in Powell. We create a little brochure to do that, and we're going to 12,000 homes. Peter's the ones who organize it. People are doing it. And we had several hundred people out on Saturday on a gospel day to get it done. But let me tell you, it will never be done. It will never be done unless people love the Lord. And if you want to evangelize this area and speak to people about Jesus and go after the lost, forget it. It's just a good idea that people talk about and never do unless people love God and want people to know about God because they love him. And try to get them to pray. Anybody can go through the motions of prayer. Every Christian ought to pray. Our prayer life is our Christian life. We ought to read the Bible. We ought to determine we're going to read it through. We're going to study the Word of God. It's our book. It's God's Word. But people don't approach prayer or the Bible, and they don't love the church if they don't love the Lord, because the Lord loved the church and gave himself for it. I'm telling you, when we deal with this, we deal with everything else there is. Everything. Everything. Look again in 1 John, would you please? In chapter 4, verse 10. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And may I just say, everything that was needed to satisfy the righteous demands God made for our sin payment, everything a holy God demanded, Jesus satisfied when he bled and died for our sins. You and I should die and go to hell. But he died for us and as us. For God so loved the world, as we heard a moment ago, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you admire the Christian life of the Apostle Paul? I do. I'm sure you do. I want you to look at me and turn with me, please, just for a moment, to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Look what he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us. Not his love for Christ, but Christ's love for him. The love of Christ constraineth us. Listen, there many a night I wouldn't get up and go for people. I wouldn't do what I do for people. You think you're going to find a pastor someday that just loves everybody so much that they're going to just serve them till they die? Stop dreaming. There's a limit to all of us in our human strength. But we decide we do what we do for the Lord because of what the Lord's done for us. Our love is a response to his love. We love him because he first loved us. And you know, in him are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You want peace? He gives it. You want wisdom? He gives it. Think about this. Old Dr. Frank Sales used to come, and these young men saw him. He took a little box, and he had a lid on it, and he'd have strings in it and things tied to those strings. And he'd open the lid of the box, and he'd let them fall out. And one would say, forgiveness and peace and wisdom and joy. And he'd go through this thing with this little object lesson and say, would you like to have this? Would you like to have this? Would you like to have this? How many of you would like to have these wonderful things just radiating in your church? Wouldn't you? And then he'd put all these little things back in here and he says, you can't have them. You can't ever get them seeking them. It doesn't happen that way. And he put them all inside and closed his lid. Then he turned his box around, and he had written on the back of it, Christ. And then he'd hold his box out and say, when you get Christ, you get all of this. And see, we spend our lives chasing, oh, I'd like to be a happy person. I'd like to have peace. Dear Lord God, I'd like to have wisdom. I'd love to be able to know how to make right decisions and lead my home, my family. You know how it happens? When you get Jesus and love him. And the goal is loving him more and more. He'll give you all these things. I'll tell you, son, you had it right. You had it right. And I'm just taking my little broken down hammer and I'm going to keep hitting the same nail. Quickly, look at this, would you please? Luke chapter 10. Now here's where we are. Luke chapter 10, verse 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, what is written in the law? How readest thou? And by the way, when we read these things should say to us, I need God. I can't do this in my own strength. I need God. The Ten Commandments say to us, I need God. Every commandment says, I need God. I can't do this in my own strength. I need God to help me do this. And he answered. Now this is the guy who came quizzing the Lord. He answered and said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, and thy neighbors thyself. And he's quoting here from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 and 5, and from Leviticus chapter 19, I think it's the 18th verse. He's quoting these commandments. And he said unto him, Jesus says unto him, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. Jesus said, you've given the right answer. Do you know, look, please, we can give the right answers. We hang around churches like this long enough, we hear what we're supposed to say. And we can give the right answers and still not have the right heart. Right? Look, please, do you have the right heart? It can't be right toward anything else if it's not right toward God. And I'm preaching to myself. I mean, there's some people I'd like to wring their neck. I really would. And the reason I don't is because God helps me not do it. Really. You know how I grew up? I grew up like some of you. You force your way through life. You kick and scratch and holler and scream loud than other people do. You fight longer and harder, and you finally get it done. That's the way the world does it, isn't it? You live by force. But God's called us to live by faith. And that's my struggle. That's your struggle. I'd like to say to some of these old hard-headed men I have in the church, look, guys, don't you know how a Christian's supposed to behave? But it doesn't make a difference how long I say it to them. It's not going to happen. They'll never change. I had one man come to me and been with me 20 years. He said, I just realized I've been with you 20 years, and my heart's never been right. I knew all the things Christians are supposed to do, and I've been trying to do them. But I've been trying to do them for all these years, and never, never did any of it for the Lord and for His glory. And I've been the most miserable man. And anybody that's ever been to our church would know the man's name. I believe our churches are full of them. I believe pulpits are full of people like that who won't admit it. We don't preach because we love Jesus. We preach because we want to be heard, or we want to tell somebody off, or we want to straighten somebody out, or we want to prove what we know. Oh, there's a mighty revival. Look here. Just beyond the door, there's a mighty revival bursting. It's bursting to break in. It wants to break in. But it can't. God wants to give it to us, but it can't come until God will get the glory for it. God won't get the glory for it until our hearts are turned toward Him and we work on that all our heart and all our mind and all our soul and all our strength. So here the guy got the right answer, but he wasn't right. He says, but he willing to justify himself, he must have been troubled a bit, said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? All right, who's my neighbor? And the Lord tells him a story and turns the whole thing around. I want you to notice what Jesus does. Turns the whole thing around. You know the story. Let me read it quickly. Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, and which stripped him of his him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance, there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise, a Levite, when he was at that place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. And he asked, which now of these three, thinkest thou, was neighbor unto him that fell among thieves? The man asked the question, who is my neighbor? Jesus turned it around. He didn't ask the man that same question. Not who's your neighbor, who was a neighbor to this man. Now listen, it wasn't, well, who am I to care for? Good night. You and I already know the answer to that. That's how we get by with stuff. That's how we sit on a church pew. That's how we live in littleness. That's how we become churchgoers instead of Christians. We know the answer to that. You take a 5-mile circle from this church building right now, and there's people out there giving up. Wives have left them. Husbands have left children. I got a boy right now serving as a deacon. I remember going to his home more than 20 years ago, trying to keep his home together. And the child, he was about 9 at the time, the child was hanging on to his daddy's leg. You can't believe this. And his daddy's name was Rodney, and his daddy was dragging him all the way through the house. He dragged him from his bedroom, through the kitchen, through the living room, out the door, down the sidewalk, and into the street until he could kick the boy off of him and get in his car. I've never seen like that in my life. And he drove away, and he never came back. And that kid was screaming, Daddy, please don't leave us. Daddy, please don't leave us. Daddy, please don't leave us. You don't have to go far from right here to find people like that. You and I already know who's in need. Jesus says, wait a minute, the real question is, who cares about those people in need? And I'm going to tell you something. You ready for it? It's just like he said, not a one of us cares unless we love the Lord and we have his love in our heart to love them. Not a one of us. You want a Bible conference? Why do you think you ought to have one? So some people will begin to obey the Bible. Now the Lord said, verse 37, he that showed mercy on him, that's the one. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. Go do it. Go do it. You see, most people separate this thing we call loving God from really doing things. They say, I'm just going to find a place to sit around and just love God. No. The only way we prove we love God is to obey his command. And you know who I'm preaching to? I'm preaching to myself. Because I've learned how to say it. I've learned all the expressions. I've learned all the church language. And I listen to this young man preach. And I think, I'm thankful to God if he believes what he preaches. I'm thankful to God that he and his brother in the Lord here, pastor of this church, have gained an understanding that all the doing has to truly begin with loving God. Because that's what motivates you to do it. I want you to be the best Christian you can be. And let's patiently bow our heads and close our eyes just for a moment. How many of you believe that the Lord has touched your heart? You say, well, nobody loves God like they ought to. Listen, there you go again. There you go again. But what about you? You know in your heart, are you moving forward in this matter? Are you moving forward in this matter? In a moment we'll have some music, but not now. And it's always good here, and I appreciate that. But let me say just a thing, and then I'll ask you to play something. How many of you know? You say, I know that God's dealing with me as a wife or a father or a mother or a husband. God's dealing with my heart, you say, about loving him so I can be the wife and mother, the husband and father ought to be. I realize that. And God's just sort of rung my bell about this. Would you lift your hand, hold it high? Be an honest person. Amen. What about people in the ministry? Don't you get tired? I've been in the ministry 44 years, and I know you get tired. And you get that new breath every once in a while. You know what I mean, don't you? Sort of a second breath that strengthens the thing. It comes from the Lord, doesn't it? And God refreshes us. How many of you men need that? You don't really get that from other people. You get that from God and God alone. And I keep chasing my own tail, as they say about dogs, round and round and round in circles without really taking the time to be devoted to God and let God refresh my heart so I'll have the strength to serve him. How many believe in your Christian service? You're tired of your ministry, bus route. You're tired of your Sunday school. You're tired of it. You've gotten wearied well doing. And you got your eyes on the people and you're just sort of tired of it. And you need God to help you. And he will. Would you lift your hand? Hold it high. Be an honest person, will you? Thank you. God bless you. Amen. I can't make every application. I'm just giving a little exhortation here to what I've heard preached. And I'm saying amen to what I heard preached. I loved it. Didn't you love hearing that message? And I'm sort of giving the invitation of that message. How many of you believe God has your attention at this moment about something specific in your life? Would you lift your hand again? Come on. I want you to stand if you've got your hand raised, would you? Just stand wherever you are. We love the Lord here. We're not ashamed of this. We're not ashamed of it. Well, I wonder. Now, don't rush around. I wonder. We'd hear that song that Tommy talked about. All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. These folks are going to play it here in just a moment. No singing, just playing it for a moment. I wonder if you'd leave your place and come and stay here to pray until the pastor will lead us in a prayer, all of us together. If it's hard for you to kneel, and that's possible, just find a seat on one of these front rows. But you're coming saying to God, Lord, I thank you for speaking to me, and I know what I need to do. If it's home life, church life, whatever it is, it begins with you, and I've got to get this right. Father, may thy will be done. May Christ be glorified. In his name we pray. As she plays now, you leave your place and come, will you? And I feel responsible before the Lord to say, maybe you brought someone who needs Jesus, who's never been saved. If you have someone you love like that with you, would you lift your hand so I can pray for you and pray for them? If you have someone like that with you, or maybe you're here alone and you don't know the Lord, would you lift your hand? You say, I need my sins forgiven. God bless you, sweethearts. Amen. I want to say just a word in a moment, but I'm going to ask the pastor if he'd come lead us in prayer, because I know he loves you. And we're all trying to keep this as a goal, to love the Lord, so we'll do what the Lord wants us to do. Pastor, you come lead us in prayer. Thank you.
Our Father God, we thank you for this special time. And Lord, it's so good when you show up and speak to our hearts. Thank you that your word has been preached faithfully. And I pray that you'll help us all as your children to understand what you're saying to us. Lord, help us not to be just busy doing things, but help us to love you first. And may our service flow from a heart of love for Jesus Christ. May you help us to be what you've called us to be. Help us to obey your commands and to live the Christian life simply because you've told us to live it the way that you want us to live it. We thank you that you've loved us so much that you've died in our place, that you became sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteous of God in thee. We thank you for what you've done for us. Help us to be faithful in loving you, believing you, and obeying you, and following you to the ends of the earth, I pray. Thank you for this service. Would you bless it now? Continue to use it, and use tomorrow night, we pray in Jesus' name.
Amen. Would you stand with me, please, right where you are just for a moment, all of you? Thank you so much. I'll tell you this. I appreciate you listening, and you've made me feel very welcome here. I always love coming to this church. I know I'm going to find good people who love God. How many of you are Christians? Would you raise your hand? Now look, this area is known for the real thing. This church is known for the real thing, the whole place. You use your influence. The next time you hear somebody who's a Christian saying something about the church or somebody they shouldn't say, you bring up this subject. Just say, you know, friend, we just need to love the Lord like we ought to love the Lord. And let him take care of this. You see, people have made fools of themselves trying to be God. They have, haven't they? I have too. I'm in the kind of work, and this is it. I'm in the kind of work where I see daddies bring daughters and sons, watch them cry when they leave them. And knowing they might get in a meeting somewhere and God call them to Uganda, or somewhere, and he does. And the only peace those people have who have it, the only peace those parents ever have who really get that peace, are the parents who know they can trust their children to someone who loves their children more than they love them. You couldn't stand it. You just couldn't stand it. I see it all the time. You couldn't stand it. to turn them loose like that. I'm talking about the Lord loving them more than mom and daddy love them. You gotta come to that. And when you know him, you know that's true, don't you? Thank you so much. I look forward to being here tomorrow night. My brother, you've read about him in the Bible. He's that wild man from Gadara. And I'm praying that he'll still show up tomorrow clothed and in his right mind.
That's great. God bless you. You're dismissed. Let me remind you about the books out in the lobby. If you wouldn't mind, just play through.
Hey, by the way.